This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. And by that, I mean the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody and Chris Cody, of course, right here with me. And unusual show.
I want to be left here with you. It's funny because I actually am left here with you. Chris Cody left here with me. I've been left here with you.
You have.
You're not only right here with you, but I'm left here with you.
Right. You're a leftist. And
I'm also down here with you because I'm sitting on my floor.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have any chairs in your house?
I do, but, you know, because my back, I don't love my dining room tables after, like, I find that I can sit the longest without having back issues on the floor. I mean, obviously, I don't have, like, a good gamer's chair that I'm sure, or, like, a good office chair.
Right.
You know, I'm either sitting in my I need to get my office set up is the real moral of this story, but I'm either sitting in my living room or my dining room. So I tend to go with the floor. After working at home for a year, I discovered that it's the floor that makes my back feel the best.
I'm going to buy you an office. I'm going to have IKEA send you an entire office and drop it into your house by helicopter. Christopher, we have an unusual show today, and here's why. In the near two-year history of this podcast, we rarely have on professional athletes. I think we had on Miguel Cabrera of the Marlins. We've had on Mac Collins.
Miguel Cabrera. I wish we had on Miguel Cabrera.
Oh, shoot. Miguel Rojas. What am I talking about?
I mean, you got your Miguels mixed up. I think that's what happened there.
Yeah, well, that will become clear because Miguel Cabrera may be referenced later in this show in another manner. But we've also had Mac Collins on from the Dolphins. And now we have on Ryan Lomberg of the Florida Panthers, the excellent Stanley Cup contending Florida Panthers. And even if you're not a hockey fan, I guarantee you, you're going to enjoy meeting this guy.
Well, you don't know that because normally when we do these teasers, we've already recorded the interview and we like know how it went so we can like promise and stuff and say things. But in this one, we're doing this straight live to tape. Like we're starting this episode before the Lomberg interview. He will be with us in roughly 14 minutes.
It's true.
And then we're just going to go straight through. So we're getting wacky here. So you just said that people are going to find it fantastic. Well, we don't really know that yet. We probably will.
Yeah, he could be awful.
He seems really fun and we've done some good research on him, so we feel prepared and we're excited to talk to him, but we don't know honestly.
Right. We're going to find out together. You all listening, Christopher and I, we're all going to find out together whether we aired or succeeded in inviting Ryan Lomberg of the Florida Panthers onto our show. How about that?
I just want to play the classic Office Space line for him that involves a name very similar to his.
Okay. You tried to explain that to me and I had no idea what you were
talking
about.
People that know Office Space already know what I'm talking about. They're laughing. They're excited about it. So I'm going to play that clip for him coming up and I'm excited about that. And so is everybody else. But the people that don't know Office Space are like you, not that excited about it.
Right. Who starred in that? I don't even know what's it about.
Oh, that's a good thing. I'm not good with actors' names.
Okay. Chip off the old block. I'm not good with movie names, so we're even. Office Space, bad name for a film, by the way.
Nah, it's good. Good name.
Hey, don't we have a brand new, I don't know if we want to do it now, but we have a brand new song in this episode.
We do. Ron Livingston, Jennifer Aniston are the two stars of it.
Jen Aniston. I've heard of her. Haven't heard of the other guy. Have heard of Jen. What is the new song? I know nothing about it.
We're celebrating our 100th episode. We are.
Last week.
But yeah, that's true. Last week was the 100th episode, but this week we're celebrating it. Yeti got in the lab. I believe Andrew Streeter is in on this as well with some vocals and guitar. I'm not really sure. Let's listen.
Okay. SUI award-winning Andrew Streeter joins us along with Yeti.
Wow, that is a you just undercut Yeti right there.
Why?
I mean, Yeti loves that he works for us and he has that over Andrew Streeter, but Andrew Streeter has over him is that he's a SUI Award winner.
Yeah, he's a winner, but Yeti's being paid. So
Yeti very famously is a SUI Award nominee.
That's true. What is he, like an 8-time nominee and he's never won?
I think it's 5-time. I think I could be underselling him, but he's not here right now. So he's editing this and he's mother effing us for
That's why we're making fun of him, because he's not here. Love you, Yeti. But let's listen to his latest creation.
100 times we beg for your acclaim. 100
classic Greg Cody show. Another banger from Yeti, but yet celebrating the 100th episode on the 101st episode. It's just, it's kind of a chef's kiss on how we roll.
It is. We were a week late, but still, it'd be weird to celebrate 101st episode. So think back and pretend like you heard it last week. Use your imagination.
That dude, he puts so much work into those songs. It's really impressive. Andrew Streeter with some background vocals, but that is what Yeti does. Creating all that music is pretty cool.
It's great. And he's been a great addition to the pod in the past 10 months or so, because I love music so much. And I always wanted music to be a big part of the podcast, whether it's a fake, you know, ad parody or an actual song. And Yeti's brought that. So,
but classic great. Us to celebrate it a day late, though. It's just chef's kiss.
Yes.
But before we get to Ryan Lomberg, I just need to make fun of you for your narcissism, because we joke about this being the most narcissistic podcast and we kind of lean into it. But your lack of just self-awareness with it is astonishing.
What do you mean?
Because we were talking about what we could talk about here before Ryan Lomberg joins us. And it's like, all right, Dad, what do you got in the chamber this week? And it's as if he pulls out a gun, and like with each bullet, it's like the first bullet was, we could talk about me being a top 10 columnist.
Oh, shucks. You didn't have to bring that up.
I'm like, oh, yeah, that's, yeah, I brought it up. And then the next shot is, oh, did you see that soccer doc that I talked about a couple weeks ago? How much was I in it? I didn't watch it yet. So you were just asking me if I had watched the doc to see how much you were in it.
Correct.
And then the third bullet was, hey, I was on MLB Network Radio this week doing my top 10. I mean, my Mount Rushmore of Marlins players.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, I actually do want to talk about that, but I just want to keep making fun of you. And then you also said, oh, but we could also talk about my song in the Levitard musical. So you're just, you're shooting.
I've had a busy week.
You're just, it is just a chef's kiss on your narcissism. But we can talk about, let's do MLB Network, because you know, we're involving, before you were doing this, you told Michael and I, you're like, hey, going on MLB Network Radio, need to give my Marlins Mount Rushmore. What do you guys think is yours? Just to get our take on it. And we had a long text exchange debating who it should be. And I know who I gave you my four. Michael gave you his four. Who'd you go with?
Yeah, the top three choices to me were really easy. And earlier in the pod, I meant to refer to Miguel Rojas, and I refer to Miguel Cabrera. It's because Miguel Cabrera is number one on my Mount Rushmore of Marlins. Giancarlo Stanton is number two, and Luis Castillo is number three. I thought those three were indisputable.
Yeah.
The fourth could have been of a dozen.
Could have been like five guys. Yeah, five or six guys at least.
Easy. And I end up picking Hanley Ramirez, acknowledging that it's an arguable choice. I was talking, not to drop a name, I was talking to David Sampson a couple of days later about something else, and this came up, and he said his first three choices would have been the same, Cabrera, Stanton, and Castillo, and his fourth would have been Jeff Conine, who's Mr. Marlin.
I mean, that's a good friend of his. Like, that's what he's doing there. I think I don't get me started. I've done this before. I don't want to be mean to Jeff Conine. I sat next to him once at his poker tournament. Came in third place at his poker tournament. Love Jeff Conine.
Okay.
Love that we traded for him in 03. He sparked that team and really brought us what we needed. But let's get, like, the fact that he's called Mr. Marlin is absurd.
It's a bit much. It really is. I mean, Babe Ruth isn't even called Mr. Yankee. I mean, what are we doing here?
No Jose Fernandez for you, huh?
You know what? Jose was under consideration. But as Sampson said, and Sampson adored Jose, as even Sampson put it, his career bulk wasn't there. In other words, he just didn't play long enough. And you can't project, you can't say, well, he died tragically at age 24. Had he not, he would have had at least seven or eight prime years of big winning.
I think he can.
You can't project that, particularly with that position, where arms flame out so quickly.
I would have had him on there instead of Hanley. I mean, Hanley was a talented player, but I don't know.
Okay. I did consider Jose and actually felt a little bit guilty not including him. But anyway, I can justify Hanley. I compared his career stats with Conine and others. And
all right. As we peter out on this topic, Ryan Lomberg is in the waiting room, so let's let him in.
Oh, boy, because I want to talk more about me being a top 10 columnist later, but let's get to Ryan Lomberg first.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, man? How's it going?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. Thank you. Help yourselves.
Excellent. Oh, man. That is a Florida view right there. There's not many hockey towns. I'm seeing a beautiful sky, beautiful trees behind you.
Yeah, yeah. If this goes longer than 10 minutes, you'll probably see the sweat start dripping down.
That's true. That's the downside.
I mean, you're a guy from Ontario in 85-degree weather in February. That's just crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Living the dream to a whole new level. That's for sure.
Ryan, by the way, Greg Cody is here. I'm Chris Cody. I produce his podcast. He works for the Miami Herald. You shouldn't know who we are, so I just wanted to do a little brief introduction.
I do. Addy Phil and all that. So
cool.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I did. I changed the lives of the Panthers rookies this summer when I spoke to them. They all told me afterwards. They were like, "My life has changed after talking to you." But Ryan, we're basically already good friends, me and you. I'm a season ticket holder, section 128, row 7. My friend one time met you at Chipotle on 136.
Okay.
So I feel like we're already connected, you and I.
I like that. I kind of feel that too.
What's the go-to order at Chipotle? Like, what do you do?
I'm usually a bowl guy. I go bowl. I'll do some brown rice, some chicken, some guac, queso, beans.
There you go. Dad, you're the burrito guy, right? Those burritos are too much.
Yeah, it's too heavy. Last time I was in Chipotle and I ordered a burrito, it was like a 5-pound
That's right.
Sub. It was like unbelievably heavy and big. And I don't know. I'm not a big Chipotle guy unless they're an advertiser on our podcast, in which case I love them. Absolutely love them. Ryan, you, first of all, congrats on the season the team is having. I don't want to jinx you guys, but super Stanley Cup contender, highest scoring team in the league, super exciting. How is it for you? Because you paid your dues, you know, you had the journey to get where you are right now. And I feel like, I know you were in Calgary, but I feel like this is your big break. Like this year and last year are when you began really happening as an NHL guy. How does that feel for you personally?
Yeah, that's right. It's been, you know, it's been a long journey, like you said, but it's been amazing. This group, you know, since day one of training camp, there's kind of been that atmosphere in the room that you know, there's potential to do something special this year. So it's just about us coming to the rink every day and working and trying to get better every day to build towards that ultimate goal. But for myself, yeah, you know, I've been very thankful to be given a good opportunity here to succeed. So you know, I've just tried to do my best anytime I'm given a chance to get out there and play. You know, the bigger the moment, the more important it is to make sure, you know, I get the job done. So I've been lucky to play with a lot of great live mates so far this year. And you know, we're all looking forward to having more success moving forward.
I wonder, Ryan, if there were ever any doubts along the way, like when it didn't happen instantly and you weren't one of these high draft picks who was on the NHL ice at 20 and wowing everybody and you had to really pay your dues. Did you have any doubts that it wasn't going to happen for you?
Yeah, there were definitely some moments earlier on in my pro career where, you know, not so much gave up, but, you know, the ultimate goal of playing in the NHL seemed pretty far away. You know, my first year, I spent some time in the East Coast Hockey League and, you know, I thought I was going to get an opportunity to play in the American League that year and hopefully, you know, earn an opportunity to play in the NHL. But, you know, in reality, I was going the other way. So there were definitely some long days where I'd look myself in the mirror and you know, dig deep and just keep pushing. The more you think about it, you know, when you're in it, how far you are, it just kind of discouraging. So I tried to, you know, just get better every day and work as hard as I could you know, be a good teammate. And ultimately, you know, if I did that stuff, then, you know, at the end of the day, I'd be able to look myself in the mirror and be happy with everything.
How many years did you go after college before getting to Calgary? Like, how many years of like playing in other leagues? What were there for you?
Three full years. Before, you know, I even got a sniff. So
I'm imagining like in Happy Gilmore, where at the beginning of every hockey season, he goes into like a batting cage and he like takes one off the chest just to like make sure that he's like tough and ready to, like, is that you every year? Like, this is the year that I make it.
Yeah. You know, it was for sure. And, you know, it was a little bit discouraging because I would, you know, work my butt off all summer long. You know, every year I would come into camp in better shape than the last year. You know, and in Calgary specifically, I just, you know, I could have done, you know, as best as I could have in camp, but it's still, you know, I wasn't even really on their list of potential guys to make it. It was more so just filling a spot for training camp. So those first few years were kind of discouraging, you know, being so close, but at the same time being, you know, fairly far away. But, you know, again, it just kind of added fuel to the fire. And, you know, as I would be around these guys more and more, I would realize that, you know, hey, I'm not so far, you know, I can compete with these guys and make an impact. So it was just a matter of staying with it. There were a lot of times where I got discouraged, but, you know, there's no quit here. So I just stayed with it.
Ryan, we're going to get to some fun stuff in a minute, but I want to
ask. Yeah, we're trying to dig down deep down in your soul right now. We're trying to dig.
It's all good. I love it.
I do want to ask you about something that this team endured early in the season, because it was a real trial for the team. And for those of you who aren't from South Florida or aren't super big hockey fans, the Panthers have been great from the start this season. But when you guys were, I think, 7-0 or 8-0, a bomb dropped on the team in late October. Your all-time great coach Joel Quenneville was forced to resign over a controversy that was 10 years ago in a different city. And I was talking to Bill Zito, the general manager, a couple of weeks ago, and he said that he thought the most important game of this season for you guys so far was the game after that happened, because he said to me he thought if you guys would have lost that first game post Quenneville, that the whole narrative might have been, uh-oh, they're unraveling. And instead, you guys went on with barely a hiccup. I wonder if you can take us back to late October, what it was like those couple of days that was happening, and how you guys stayed together as a team. And maybe I'm imagining somebody in the locker room standing up and saying, hey, this isn't going to break us, or something of that nature.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think it's a testament to, you know, the leadership group that we have. You know, we have, you know, a tremendous group of leaders in that room that, you know, made sure with all the noise going on around us that, you know, we all realized that, you know, we are the players and we're a great team. So, you know, we can't let this, you know, ruin what a special year it could be. So I think, you know, like you said, right away, it was important for us to just, you know, show everybody that we're a great hockey team and we're here to win hockey games. So, you know, it's definitely a testament to all our leaders who, you know, made sure that we were ready to, you know, handle our business.
Now, you are listed at 5'9". Is this your height?
Yeah, 5'9". I gave up. I tried to push for 5'10" up until I think early pro, and then I stopped trying. 5'9" officially.
I swear, if you watch just on TV, because like on my season tickets, you kind of can see better in person, but on TV, the way you play, I don't know if we should call you a bruiser. Are you tall? Are you big enough to be considered a bruiser? Are you feisty because of your height? You play with an edge to you. So, like, how would you classify your game?
I would say intense, maybe, if I'd put it in one word, intense, or like, you know, relentless, energetic. You know, it kind of stemmed my whole life. I've been, you know, one of the smaller guys in the league and on my team and stuff. So, you know, it started at an early age, not backing down and picking on the big guys and all that stuff. So, you know, it's just kind of just a habit now.
Do you just get to a point with hockey and taking hits and getting punched where you're just like, it doesn't hurt. I'm not afraid to go into this scrum because as me as like a coward who's like never really even been in a fight in my entire life, I'm like, I would just want to avoid all those confrontations and you just go head in like, let's go. Who wants some? And it's honestly really cool.
Yeah, I love it. I just love, you know, that team aspect where everyone's sticking up for one another. You know, it doesn't matter if it's the biggest guy on the other team that hit somebody, you know, to have your teammates stand up for you is a great feeling. I know, you know, for me, if I ever get hit or cheap shotted, you know, I'm not asking anybody to fight or anything, but if you see one of the skill guys come over and you give the guy a cross check or a slash, you know, it makes you feel good and makes you know that, you know, your teammates care about you and have your back and all that stuff. So I just, you know, want to make sure all my teammates know that I have their back no matter what, no matter who hits them, you know, I'll show up and go to war for them.
And you and Hornquist have been holding down that fourth line. Is there like is there a duty with that line of like, we're kind of like we're out here to like, if you take a shot at Barkov or Hubie, like we're coming for you.
Yeah, I think like,
or is that Gudis's role?
Yeah, Butcher. Yeah, he likes to get involved for sure. I think like typically the fourth line is like quote unquote supposed to be like, you know, the more physical line, if you will. But you know, it really doesn't matter what line I'm on. You know, I'll always kind of feel that onus to go and even the score in some way.
Ryan, I don't know how much trash talking takes place on the ice, but I'm wondering if you have ever heard any from an opponent where you have a big hit, you drive somebody into the boards and they look around and say, dude, you're too small to be playing like that. What are you doing being that physical at your height? Have you ever heard anything like that at all?
Yeah. Earlier on in my career, people would, you know, call me small and all that stuff. And then, you know, I pretty much point blank just ask them to fight and, you know, show me how small and soft I am. So, you know, people stop calling me small and making fun of my height after, you know, I would just, you know, call them out and ask them to fight.
It is pretty absurd. Do you ever stop? Because you've done hockey your whole life. So for you, it's just like second nature. But do you ever sit back and go, it's odd that in our sport, we can just like settle a disagreement by dropping the gloves and fist fighting? Like that doesn't happen in any other line of work. You guys are skating around on little swords. Like hockey's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is for sure. You know, from time to time, you'll step back and realize, you know, that, you know, fighting's legal. but at the same time, I do think, you know, there's a need for it. And it does help, you know, kind of police the game and keep everybody honest. You know, I know for myself, if, you know, there's a big tough guy on the other team, you know, I know that if I'm going to hit one of the other team's better players, then, you know, eventually I'm going to have to answer the bell. So
I feel like the penalty box is almost like a second home for you. I think you're in there so much, you should have the right to like decorate it, put some curtains up.
Maybe is that true?
In there.
Are you penalized a lot? Are you a big penalty guy?
Every once in a while, I'll go in there. Hey, guys, how you doing? Good to see you. You know, chat them up a little bit. So,
right. Welcome back is what they say in the penalty box when you come in.
That's what they'll say, yeah.
You're like Norm walking into Cheers. I don't know if that reference is too old for you, but when you go into a penalty box. But I'm wondering, now you're married now or engaged to be married, right?
Engaged to be married, yep.
Okay, and does your future wife ever look at you and look at this sport and say, I don't want your beautiful face messed up?
Or that hair, or that beautiful lettuce.
Yeah, and that hair. Hey, can you take it easy? Can you not be that guy who's always hitting other people?
I think... you know, when we first met and all that stuff, it's kind of how I've always been. So it's not like I changed and, you know, started acting tough out of nowhere. I've kind of always been the guy to not back down and have my teammates back. So, it, you know, she knew that it kind of comes with the territory.
How are you doing? Are you sweating yet? Like, can we keep you around a little bit longer? We're enjoying this.
I'm starting to sweat, but it's all good. It's all good. I'm enjoying it too, so we're good.
Great. Hey, how did you guys meet? I just wanted to ask you that real quick. Wow. How did you meet your
Let's get
wife?
Intensely personal with you.
we both went to the University of Maine, actually. I missed her by a year, but we had a bunch of mutual friends, so we just kind of got connected a few years after I left school.
Okay, so you've been knowing her a while then.
Yeah. Once we met, it didn't.
That question is
didn't
that.
Take us too long. It was kind of the rest is history.
So you've been knowing her a while. What the hell are you asking?
No, and I want to give this guy credit, Ryan Lomberg, because he put this on his Instagram. When you proposed, you did it old school, man. You were on bended knee.
Yeah.
And asking for
doesn't everybody kneel?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think people still kneel.
Really?
I do like to think of myself as an older generation, classy, family oriented guy. So I like to be by the book. So there was no question whether I was getting down or not.
Well, we were talking to Matt Collins, the Dolphins receiver, and he's an old school guy. In fact, he was mentioning that he listens to Frank Sinatra, and he's like your age. What kind of music do you listen to? Like, what kind of things do you do off the ice?
I'm not old school like that in the sense of music. I like to listen to a lot of things, you know, pop, rock, rap, all that. If I were to have to pick my favorite artist, it would have to be Drake.
Yes.
You know, being from Toronto, he's the best. So I got to ride with Drake for sure.
I'm sure he'll be a Panthers fan at some point. He likes to move around and be fans of a lot of different teams. So you guys give him a jersey, give him a good suite. I'm sure he could be a Panthers fan.
There you go. Addy, get on, please.
Yeah, let's get on that.
You weren't at Marlins Park for Kanye West the other night, were you?
I was not, no.
Okay. Neither was I, unless I didn't go about
that. That's shocking, Dad, that you weren't there. What did you do? Can you remember your first big hockey check? Like, were you just like, I need to save this money? Or was there something that you were like, I never gotten this amount of money before. I got to buy this watch or something.
I remember it was actually my first year pro. I signed an American League contract, and it wasn't a whole lot. And I got a signing bonus of $5,000. And, yes, you know, like coming out of college, you know, I was excited to, you know, spend it or do whatever. But I remember getting the check, and it was for like $3,400 or something. And I messaged the guy. I'm like, hey, like, I thought it was for $5,000. He's like,
oh, taxes.
Yeah, welcome to the world of taxes, kid. And that was like my first adult lesson of taxes.
I've been there. Yeah.
One number and you get another. So
you start plotting out the $5,000. It's like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget.
Movie that you'll stop on every single time.
That I'll stop on. Rocky, for sure. Rocky or Hangover. Those are my top two.
Oh, I just watched The Hangover. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
What about last movie that made you cry? Be honest. Come on.
Marley and Me. I can only watch the first half now. I won't do the second half.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's the dog movie, right?
Yeah, with Owen Wilson. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know movies, so.
Yeah, no, Dad. He can't contribute to this conversation.
I thought it was a movie about Bob Marley for a minute. I have no idea.
What's the most random thing? Because, like, I never know with, like, the way the boards work with fans, like, yelling stuff. Like, do you guys hear, when you're in the game, like, do you hear fans? What's, like, the most random thing you regularly hear from, like, a fan?
Yeah, like, I usually like to, during warm-ups, I'll look around and kind of engage with the fans and throw them pucks and stuff like that. I can't really think of one thing off the top of my head that sticks out that a fan would say.
Like, you guys don't hear it. Like, there's not often where you hear trash talk and you can pinpoint that came from that person. It's all just like noise coming to you guys, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of noise. Yeah.
And is there any way that we can develop some sort of connection where next time you score, you like come over to like 120, like, because I'm behind the goal that you guys are at the first and third period. So you score in the first and third period, maybe just like a little, like, you know, point, little finger gun towards me or something.
What'd you say? 128, row 7?
Row 7, seats 12 and 13. I hope people aren't going to creep on me now, but yeah, that's where I sit.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'll keep my eye out for you.
Yeah.
And I'll try to remember next time I score.
Maybe Addie will be like, you can look to her and she'll point to where I'm at. It'll be a quick thing in the middle of the game. I'm sure you'll remember to do it. No big deal.
Gotcha. I'll try.
All right, sweet.
Ryan, when you think of all the moments, the things about hockey that you love, I wonder what the most fun is. Is it scoring a goal? Is it the great pass that leads to a goal? Is it
winning a fight?
Is it winning a fight and putting the perfect hit on somebody? Is it the celebration in the post-game locker room? What is a moment in hockey that just fills your heart?
Yeah, I think it would have to be something involving, you know, all the guys, whether it be after a big win or, you know, the guys in the team and the locker room atmosphere is, you know, definitely the, you know, my favorite part about hockey. You know, it would definitely have to be after a big game or a big comeback game or, you know, playoff series win. Anything, you know, any good moment with the guys is, you know, special and something that, you know, I try to hold on to.
Biggest prankster on this team and best prank you've ever seen in a hockey locker room?
Biggest prankster on this team. Probably Frankie. Frankie likes to keep it loose and joke around with the boys. Best prank.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Oh, it's all good. In my year in the ECHL, Mitchell Hurd, shout out Hurdy, he switched his phone number in our teammate's phone to the, it's kind of a mean prank, but to the assistant general manager's name, and he fake called him up. He fake called him up, and he like, and before he could break it to him, he called his buddies, his family.
He called him like, this guy had never made it, and like this
this was in the East Coast, so he's getting called up to the American League, and he was making calls and telling everyone how happy he was.
How did he react?
I don't think came out of his room for a day or two. But that's borderline. Sick. Yeah, borderline acceptable or not? We had a talk already after that one.
Did the guy eventually make it? Like, did he eventually make a career?
I don't believe he got called up that year. Unfortunately,
A sad, funny, hilarious story.
Yeah,
that's a grade A prank. That's grade A. I love that. I'm gonna have to remember that.
Looking back on it, it's funny. I remember at the time feeling bad for the guy because he was pretty devastated.
Oh, for sure.
Hey, Ryan, you guys did a team building thing earlier in the season. I forget exactly where. I think it was in Western Canada somewhere that involved dog sledding. You're an Ontario guy. I don't assume that you grew up dog sledding. Was that the first time you'd ever done it?
Yeah, that was the first time I've ever done it. Yeah. But
what was that like?
I love dogs. It was amazing. It was up in Banff National Park in Canada. Views were breathtaking. The dogs were unbelievable. It was a really cool experience.
Now, as a Canadian, again, I don't assume that you know about curling or that you're a fan of curling, but I annoy people by saying that I think curling is the one sport on earth where if you give me a week of practice, I can become an elite curler. Am I wrong? And say, have you ever curled?
Please.
I haven't curled, but I know people who do, my mom and dad, and you know, they're fairly athletic, but I do believe that they picked up on it pretty quickly. That's all what they tell me. That's all they tell me. So my dad could be pumping his own tires. I haven't been able to watch him. So, you know, really good can mean he doesn't fall all over the place, right. You know, or it can mean, you know, he lands on the butt. I don't know.
This guy starts wheezing, walking up one flight of stairs, and he thinks he could just start like backpedaling, like walking on ice, and you know, you're crazy, Dad.
Look, I'm not saying I can be a downhill skier. I'm picking my sport carefully. I think even a guy my age could devote a week of practice to curling and be a passable curler. I don't know.
Nonsense.
Okay.
Ryan, if you had to make a list of, and you can name names if you want, you can not name names because I don't want to get you in trouble or like start beefs, but like, are there guys in your mind that like they did something in recent games where it's like, I got something out for this guy. Like nothing dirty, nothing illegal, but next time we play this team, I need to lay a hit on this guy. How many of those guys do you have throughout the league right now?
Yeah. I won't name names. There are a few guys, you know, that, you know, do something that are borderline or, you know, take liberties on, you know, one of our better players and stuff like that, that it's all about kind of the game within the game, right? So you don't want to go out of your way to even the score and, you know, lose the game. So there are things that you kind of put in the piggy bank and, you know, pull out on a later date when it's more appropriate.
We got to get Ryan out of here. This has been so much fun for us. Real quick, I get confused. I'm like kind of new into being like a big time season ticket hockey guy. Refs kicking guys out of face-offs. You know how like sometimes there's a face-off and then all of a sudden the ref will just be like, hey, get out of here. It seems very subjective to me. It'd be like in the NBA if you have your center about to do a jump ball and you're like, nope, don't like you, get out of here. Then the small forward's there. It's like he's not as good at doing this as the center. Yeah. It just seems very subjective to me. Like, what's the real down low on that? Like, when do you get it? Like, what's the reason whenever a guy gets kicked out of the faceoff?
Yeah, like for myself, I'm probably closer on the side that you are to understanding what guys do wrong and not. You know, myself being a winger, I'm not like totally in touch with all the black and white rules. I know sometimes it, at least to me, looks like the guys do the exact same thing at the exact same time. And
right.
He chooses one versus the other.
And so, it's like, oh, Lundell, who's amazing at faceoffs, you have to get out of here. And now you have to go in. And it's like, I don't do this a lot. So it's like a clear disadvantage. It just seems very weird to me.
Yeah, for sure. It is a disadvantage when, you know, your centerman gets kicked out and then I'm a winger going against the opposing centerman. But I'm on your side. It's too close to tell a lot of the time. So you can just keep yelling at them when they do it.
Have you seen the movie Office Space?
Office Space. It doesn't ring a bell.
So you've never heard this scene. Did you hear that? Did I screw this up? Anyways. All right, now that's on me. We'll let you go there. Dad, I screwed this up. We can make fun of me for this debacle, okay. This end of this last segment. But thank you, Ryan, for joining us. Basically, there's a line in this classic Office Space where this like boss is like a real piece of crap and his name is Lumberg. It's the Lumber. And there's a classic line where it's like Lumberg. And I just assumed, sorry. I mean, Dad, we'll bleep it on the podcast. This will stay clean. I'm just saying like that.
It's actually funny. There are guys that will come to me periodically like, throughout my pro career so far, who is it? The big man on Pittsburgh came up to me this year and he said that exact line. And I kind of got to look at him and like pretend like I know. So I got to watch it.
Dude, Office Space. I'm telling you, it's a classic line. You're probably too young, honestly. You're in your mid 20s. I'm in my 30s. So like it's probably a generation. You got to watch Office Space. Lumberg's classic. That's a classic line from my generation. So there you go. I'm glad I could help you. That's it. We got to get him out of here, Dad. Say goodbye to Ryan. Thank you, man.
Ryan, thank you very much. Let's go curling sometime.
Yeah, you're on.
And Chipotle, and I'll meet you at Chipotle on 136 tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me. I'll look out for you in the stands.
See you, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Dude, 128 row 7. Just give me a little finger gun.
All right, brother. I got you. Take it easy, guys. Thanks again.
Thanks a lot.
Bye, Addy.
Thank you, Addy. That was really cool. I can't believe I didn't get my, I practiced with Yeti sharing audio and I wanted him to hear the line, but at least he was familiar with it kind of.
Well, it's amazing that this season, some guy from the Pittsburgh Penguins said that line to him on the ice.
I mean, I'm telling you, it is such a classic. Like it's what I think, if it's what anyone who's seen Office Space thinks of when you hear Ryan Lomberg, it's like, oh, Lomberg.
Pretty funny. There used to be a Red Sox in 67. Had a Cy Young Award winning pitcher named Jim Lonborg, Lonborg. How about that?
I feel like that was good. We got most of everything I wanted to talk to him about. I wanted him to maybe assess my hair because he has luscious hair. We didn't get to that.
He does have luscious hair.
I had a joke about because when he was in the ECHL coming up, he played for a team called the Heat and a team called the Thunder.
Wow.
So I was going to make the joke at some point that he previously in his professional career played for the Heat and Thunder and just try to confuse people. But
that would be accurate.
You could tell it was a doozy of a joke. So I'm mad I didn't get it off.
Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. I'd never talked to Ryan before. I really enjoyed that. And it was probably my second favorite time of the past week, other than being named a top 10 columnist by the Associated Press sports editors. So
we mentioned that on the front end, Dad. We already got to that.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. We'd like to thank Ryan. Christopher, what would you like to add?
Nothing. I think this is a good pod. Nice and simple, very succinct. It wasn't succinct, actually. I don't know why I said succinct. It was congruent. It was congruent. What's congruent mean?
That's the opposite of
I thought congruent is like in order.
You may be right. Yeah, now that you mention it.
Look at me.
It was end to end. Very little editing involved in this particular podcast.
Well, Yeti will do some editing on it, but yeah,
Right. He'll edit out the part where I mentioned he's never won a SUI award. He'll edit out that part. That's for sure. But as we wrap up, we want to thank everybody. As always, we never take you all for granted. All of you who listen to us every week, really, really appreciate you. You're our pod family.
And before we get out of here, we just want to talk to you about Burger King. I love Burger King. I love eating Whoppers. I love eating the chicken fries. I love dipping it in ranch. I love everything about it. It's just, it's, if I got to go somewhere for fast food, I want to go to Burger King. And that is a practice fake ad that we're doing just to test to see if anyone listens to this podcast.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, Burger King is probably better for you than Miller Lite, which I drink a ton of. Oh, so
Miller Lite. Miller it's only 90 something calories too, I think.
It tastes great. You know, it's less filling, whatever that expression is. You know, it tastes great, less filling. Miller Lite. How about that?
Yep.
Okay.
I feel good about that. I feel good about what we just did.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah.
See y'all. See y'all next week.
Does management listen to this podcast? You never know.
Yes.